This week we will be learning Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches. We left off two lines from the top of Yud Ches Amar Aleph. The previous Daf and Daf Yud Zayin, we had discussed possible sources for the concept that for the holiday of Shavuos, there are 7 days of Tashlumin. Meaning if one didn't bring the Karban that he was required to bring on Shavuos, he has 7 days after that to bring the Karbanos. So now we are picking up with another opinion as to the source that there are 7 days of Tashlumin for Shavuos. So Reish Lakish Amar, the Chag HaKatzir, so it refers to Shavuos as the holiday of the harvest. So Ezehu Chag Shetachogi V'Kotzer Bo, what holiday do we rejoice, and also it's a time of harvesting? Haviyomer Ze'atzeres, that refers to the holiday of Shavuos. The question is, when exactly am I doing a Katzir? When exactly am I harvesting? Ilema b'yom tov, if we're referring to harvesting on the yom tov itself, kitzira b'yom tov mishari. Of course, we don't permit a person to harvest on a festival, on Shavuos, it's a malacha. Elolav l'tashlumin, it must be referring to the 7 days after Shavuos, which are still considered a chag, in that one can bring the karbanos, and on those days one can still be experiencing the chag in some sense, and yet he's able to harvest on those days. So Rabbi Yochanan questions Reish Lakish's proof. Ela Miata, what about the following? Chag Ha'asif. The pasuk in the Torah refers to Sukkis as the holiday of the gathering. Izeu Chag Sheshbo Asifa. In what holiday is there a time where now everyone's gathering in their crops? Haviomer Zechag HaSukkos. It's referring to Chag HaSukkos. Emas. When exactly on Sukkis is one doing the malacha of gathering? Ilema b'yom tov, if we're referring to on the yontiv of Sukkis itself, on the first day of Sukkis, let's say, malacha b'yom tov mishari, would we permit the malacha of gathering on the yontiv itself? Ela b'chol shel moed. Maybe it's referring to the intermediary days of Sukkis, and that's when you're gathering. No. Chol shel moed mishari. No. But it's not true, because that wouldn't be permitted either. One can't just do malacha on Chol Moed either. Ella, what does it mean when it says Chag HaAsif? It doesn't mean that you have to be doing the malacha of Asifa on the Yontif. It means Ella Chag HaBa Bizman Asifa. It just means that Sukkis falls out at a time when people in the fields are gathering in their crops. It's just describing when the holiday falls out, not that the malacha has to be done on the holiday itself. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, Hachanami, when it comes to Shavuos as well, when it calls it a Chag HaKatzir, it doesn't mean that there has to be a Katsira that's related to the holiday. Rather, it means Chag HaBa Bizman Katsira. Rather, all it means is that it's a holiday that falls out at the time of the harvest. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan rejects Reish Lakish's proof as to the 7-day Tashlumin period for Chag HaShavuos. But either way, says the Gemara, Michlal detarvayu sfira luhu, decholo shel moed, osir basiyas malacha. Part of Rabbi Yochanan's rejection of Reish Lakish was the fact that the Chag HaAsif, the Asifa, the malacha, could not be in Chol HaMoed, because there's no heter, there's no permission to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. And from the fact that Reish Lakish didn't respond and say, what do you mean? Malacha is mutter on Chol HaMoed. It must be that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree to the fact that one is not permitted to perform malacha on Chol HaMoed. So says the Gemara, Minahani Mili. What's the source of this? And the Gemara now is going to proceed to offer 5 different opinions as to the source of the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So number 1, Tana Rabbanan, Es Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim, guard Chag HaMatzos Pesach for 7 days. Now the Lashon of guarding is a Lashon of guarding from Malacha. As Rashi points out, it's a losaseh, it means stay away from Malacha. So it says we should stay away from Malacha for 7 days. That includes Chol HaMoed. Limid al Chol Shel Moed, She'asar Basiyas Malacha, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia's opinion number 1, as to the source of the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed, from the fact that the Torah says, guard the holiday of Pesach for 7 days, and the Lashon of guarding refers to an Isser Malacha. Number 2, Rabbi Yonason Omer, Eino Tzarech, I don't need a Pasuk, because I have a Kal V'chomer. Ma Rishon U'Shvi'i, the first day of Pesach, let's say, and the 7th day of Pesach, the bookends of the holiday. She'ain kedusha lefnein ulacha rehen, which don't have Yom Tov or any holy days preceding them or that come after them. Meaning the first day of Pesach, the day before, is a regular day. The day after Pesach is a regular day. And nevertheless, Aser Basiyas Malacha, day 1 and day 7 of Pesach, the days that are actually Yom Tov, they have an Isra Malacha, even though they are not preceded or followed by Yom Tov days. Cholo Shel Moed, the intermediary days of Pesach, Shish Kedush Lefnei Malacha Reyen, they're preceded by Yom Tov, they're followed by Yom Tov, they're bookended by Yom Tov. Eino Din Shi Aser Basiyas Malacha, should they not certainly have an Isra Malacha? The Gemara seems to be assuming that when you're bookended by Kedusha, when you're surrounded by Kedusha, that should automatically infuse into those middle intermediary Chol Moed days a higher level of Kedusha, which should certainly warrant an Isra Malacha. The Gemara says, is that really true? Sheshishime Brish Yochichu. What about Sunday through Friday? Right? The 6 days before Shabbos. Meaning Shesh Kedusha Lepnei Malacha Rehen, they are bookended by Shabbos. Sunday is preceded by Shabbos, and Friday is followed by Shabbos, which are certainly days of incredible Kedusha, and nevertheless, Umutarn Basiyas Malacha. And nevertheless, no one ever says on a Tuesday, can't do Malacha. So the fact that certain days are bookended, are sandwiched by days of Kedusha, clearly does not impose an Isra Malacha, and the proof is the fact that Sunday through Friday, there's no Isra Malacha, even though they're sandwiched by Shabbases. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't bring a proof from Sunday through Friday, because Malashesha Shimei Bereshis She'ein Bohen Karban Musaf. Because there's nothing really special about weekdays. There's no special Karban. We don't add an extra Tefillah. Tomer B'chol Shel Moed She'ish B'Karban Musaf. Meaning, Chol Shel Moed is not only sandwiched or bookended by 2 days, the first and seventh day of Pesach, which are holy, but the days themselves have an added carbon. We daven tefillas musaf. So they're clearly elevated, and that's why they should also warrant an Isra Malacha. So the Gemara says, you're going to try and bring a proof from the fact that you have another carbon, a carbon musaf, and that elevates it to the level that should have an Isra Malacha? What about Rosh Chodesh Yochiach? But Rosh Chodesh will disprove that, because Sheyesh Bo Karban Musaf, Rosh Chodesh has a Karban Musaf, we say Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, and nevertheless, Umutter Basiyas Malacha. There's no Isra Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, we all go to work on Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, the fact that something has a Karban Musaf, or we say Musaf on that day, does not indicate there's an Isra Malacha. The Gemara says again, you can't compare Rosh Chodesh to Chol HaMoed. Mal Rosh Chodesh, She'ein Kari Mikra Kodesh. In the Torah, Rosh Chodesh is not referred to as Mikra Kodesh, days that are holy. Torah B'chol Shel Moed, Shekor Mikra Kodesh. In the Torah, Chol Moed is referred to as Mikra Kodesh. And Rashi points out, the Lashon Kodesh implies a certain abstaining from Malacha. And says the Gemara, in conclusion, Chol V'kor Mikra Kodesh, since Chol Moed is called Mikra Kodesh, Din Hu She'asar Basiyas Malacha. So opinion number two, a Rav Yonah's son, is that you have a Kal Chomer, and the conclusion is, the fact that Chol Moed is sandwiched between days of Yom Tov, the fact that there's a Korban Musaf, the fact that it's called Mikra Kodesh, put it all together, it equals Chol Moed not having, or having an Isser of Malacha. That's opinion number two. Tanya Idach, a third opinion, the Pasuk says, Ko Meleches Avodah Lo Sa'asu. It says that you shouldn't do avoda on these days. Limit achol shel moed she'asar basiyas malacha. That would clearly indicate that on chol moed there's no permission to do malacha. Divrei Yosi Aglili. That says the opinion of Yosi Aglili. And Rashi points out when it refers to all the 7 days, it refers to komlachas avoda lo sasu. So that would obviously include chol moed. And the fact that we're saying don't do malacha, that's a clear indication there's an iser malacha on chol moed. That's number three, Rabbi Zaglili. Opinion number four, Rabbi Akiva Omer, in otarech, I don't need that pasuk because I have another pasuk. Harihu Omer, eila moed Hashem. It refers to these days, certain days, as being moadim of Hashem, designated for Hashem, clearly implying there should be no malacha. The ma'akasa medaber. what day of the holiday, this happens to be referring to Sukkot, are we referring to? Im Barishon, if it's day one, Harik Far Nemar Shabbason. We already have a phrase that we refer to day one of Sukkot as Shabbason, and that would indicate that we don't do Malacha. Im Bashvi, or some change this gears it to Shmini, Harik Far Nemar Shabbason. Again, the last day of Sukkot, it also calls it a Shabbason. So when we say Ila Moadei Hashem, what's that referring to? It's referring to the Chol HaMoed Sukkot as Ila Moadei Hashem, and that's Lamdecha She'Osir Basiyas Malacha. Rabbi Kiva says, source number 4 of the Isra Malacha and Chol HaMoed is from the fact that it calls it an Ila Moadei Hashem. And finally, source number 5, Tani Idach, Sheshes Yamim Tochal Matzos. For 6 days, eat matzos. U'yom HaShvi'i Atzeres LaHashem. On the 7th day, will be an Atzeres. Mashvi Atzor. Atzeres here means, Atzor means to stop. So what are you stopping? You're stopping Malacha. So it says the Gemara, just like the 7th day of Pesach is Atzor from Malacha. Asheshes Yamim Atzurin. So too, the first 6 days of Pesach, you also stop Malacha. Says the Gemara, well, Im Mashvi Atzor B'chol Malacha. The 7th day of Pesach is Yontif. We stay away from all Malacha. So, Ah, Sheshes Yamim Atzurin B'chol Malacha? Are you telling me Chol HaMoed has the same level of restriction when it comes to Malacha as Yontif itself? No, Tamalom Rabbi Yom HaShvi'i Atzeres. It sounds like the 7th day of Pesach, or really the days of Yom Tov itself, have a higher level of Atzur, of Isser Malacha, than Chol HaMoed. Meaning, Hashvi Atzur B'chol Malacha. Only Yontif, only the 7th day of Pesach, has a full Isser Malacha. V'in Shishiyom Matzur B'chol Malacha. But not the first 6 days. So, you have this contrast. Yom Tov is a higher level. Chol HaMoed is a lower level. But it's not clear what the levels are. So says the Gemara, Halo Masr Nakasuv El Lachachamim. From the fact that the Torah is very vague here, it's very clearly the Torah giving over the power to the Chachamim to tell us, Lomar Lacha, Izeh Yom Asr, Vizeh Yom Mutter. First of all, we know we're Makadish Rosh Chodesh Al Pi HaRe'iyah. So right away, the Torah gave Chazal the power to determine which day is Yom Tov. Depending on when you declare the new moon, that will determine what day is Yom Tov. And Izu Malacha Asura, V'izu Malacha Muteres. And even once you've established what day is Yom Tov and what day is Chol HaMoed, the Chachamim also have the power to determine, okay, Yom Tov has all the restrictions, obviously except for Ochel Nefesh. Now, Chol HaMoed seems to be a little bit lower. So, Chachamim have the right to determine which Malachos that are Asr and Yom Tov would be Mutter on Chol HaMoed. And Rashi points out, the classic example of this is the concept of Dover HaAvid. Which means that on Yom Tov, we don't say that because I'm going to lose money, I can do a malacha. Yet on Chol HaMoed, the Chachamim came up with the idea that if a certain malacha, if not doing it, will be a davar ha'avin, will cost me. A big debate as to what the parameters of that are, but in that respect, if I can identify a davar ha'avin on Chol HaMoed, the Chachamim would say it's mutter on Chol HaMoed. Now it's interesting that we refer to this as the Chalchos Chol HaMoed, we're given over, we're mustered to the Chachamim. The Maariz Chiyutz over here note that we find this in other areas as well. For example, the Shvusin on Shabbos, certain Derabbanan restrictions on Shabbos were also given over to the Chachamim. Certain Halachos of Yom Kippur, certain Halachos of the Psulim of Elulav. So we do find that in certain areas of Halacha, if the Torah itself is vague, that it left room for the Chachamim to almost be mechadesh, to come up on their own with parameters and guidelines for certain halachos. Now, the question really is, and Tosos over here, the very big Tosos, Chol HaMoed, addresses this, is that we know we paskin like this, that there's an Isser Malacha and Chol HaMoed. The question is the Isser Malacha Deoraisa or Derabbanan? So, you might look at the Gemara and say, well, Deoraisa, you have Psukim over here, you have Kal V'chomer, which creates a Doraisa, and yet Tosvos goes back and forth and concludes that actually it's only an Issa Derabbanan. And one question Tosvos has is that if it's really Doraisa, where do we find the Doraisa where a little bit Mutter, a little bit Usser? I mean, usually Din Doraisas are very strong, they're firm, they don't waver, we don't have exceptions to the rules. So the fact that Chol HaMoed was Mashal Chachamim with Davar HaAvid, Tosfos says that would seem to indicate it's a Derabana. The Turi Evan, Shagas Aryeh questions this. The Rashash questions this. We find that Yom Tov itself, we have a Heter Vochol Nefesh, right? We have an Isser Malach on Yom Tov, and yet we're permitted to cook. So by the fact that there's an exception to the rule, does that tell me that the Isser Malach on Yom Tov itself is Derabanan? So it's hard to understand. Now, who cares? Is it just academic whether the Isser Malach on Chol HaMoed is the right Derabanan? So the Bir Halacha in Arachayim, Sim Tav Kof Lamed, says it's a very big nafkamina, a very big practical difference. In the case of Safik, we know if a person has a doubt, if you have a din d'oraisa, safik d'oraisa l'chumra. If it's d'rabanan, we have l'kula. So if a person has a safik about a malach on Chol HaMoed, how does he paskin? So the Bi'ur Halacha and Shulchan Aruch concludes that since there are many opinions that say it's d'oraisa, halacha l'maisa, we have to be machmir to assume that malach on Chol HaMoed is d'oraisa. We cannot be lenient in the case of a safik unless for a great necessity, for a tzorich gadol. So in a case of necessity, perhaps we will be lenient in a case of a suffix, but otherwise, we have to assume it's an Isser d'oraisa, and we cannot be makil on Isser Malach on Chol HaMoed in the case of a suffix. Okay, that concludes the discussion of the Isser Malach on Chol HaMoed. Now the Gemara goes again on something we said in the previous Mishnah, which is, there was this concept of the Yom Tavuach. There was a concept that if Shavuos fell out on a Friday, according to Beis Shammai, or a Shabbos, according to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, when you couldn't bring the actual karbonos of the Yom Tov of Shavuos on its day, they would push it off and bring the karbonos on Sunday, and it was called the Yom Tavuach, a day of slaughtering. The problem was, there was a group of people called the Tzedukim, who took the Torah very literally, and when the Torah says to be Machras HaShabbos, that you start counting Sfiras HaOmer from the day after Shabbos. So we know Shabbos over there in the Pasuk refers to Pesach. But they said it means the day after Shabbos. Literally, it's Sunday. Now, if that's going to start on Sunday, meaning Saturday night, it's going to turn out that Shavuos, 49 days later, will also fall out on a Sunday. So if they make a Yom Tavuach, shechting the Karbonos for Shavuos on a Sunday, that's going to validate the opinion, the false opinion of the Tzedukim. So to counteract that, the Mishnah had said, the Kohanim on that day wouldn't wear the regular clothing. And the Mishnah had also said that even though normally on a day of Yom Tavuach, that you're bringing karbonos, you would have an Isser to eulogize, you would be allowed to fast. So on the Yom Tavuach that fell out on a Sunday for Shavuos, the Mishnah said, you're allowed to eulogize and you're allowed to fast, so as not to validate and give any credence to the opinion of Tzedukim, who said that Shavuos has to fall out on Sunday. So says the Gemara over here, is this really true? There was a Maisa, Umesa Lachsa Balud, there was a big tzaddik who had passed away in the city of Lud. V'nichnesu kol Yisrael Asofto, all Jewish people came to eulogize him. V'lo hinichem Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon would not allow it. Mipnei, Shiyom Tov Shal Tzaras Haya, because it was Shavuos. Says the Gemara, Yom Sov Sadaizach? Do you mean it was actually Shavuos? Ibe Yom Tov Mika Asu. Meaning everyone agrees you can't eulogize on Yom Tov itself. That can't be what was going on. Ela'ema Mimnei Shom Tavuach Haya. You know Rabbi Tarfon didn't allow people to eulogize? Because it was the Sunday after Shavuos that fell out on a Shabbos or a Friday. And therefore, since this was a special day where they brought karbonos, Rabbi Tarfon did not allow them to eulogize. So that's a problem. We said in our Mishnah that on a Yom Tavuach where Shavuos fell out on a Friday or Shabbos, and the Yom Tavuach was a Sunday, the Chachamim made a heker, made it recognizable this is not actually Shavuos, and therefore they permitted eulogies. So if this was the case, how could Rabbi Tarfon say eulogies are usher on the Yom Tavuach? Says the Gemara, Lo kasha, kan b'yom tov shchalios achra Shabbos, kan b'yom tov shchalios b'Shabbos. In the case of Rabbi Tarfon, that year, Shavuos fell out on a Tuesday. Fell out on a Wednesday. It fell out on a regular day of the week, in which case the Yom Tavuach was a Wednesday, or was a Thursday. In that situation, there really is an Isser of Hespit on that day, because there's no need to do anything different, because the Tzedukim only thought that Shavuos was a Sunday. So if you're going to aser eulogies on a Wednesday, that's fine. But our Mishnah is referring to a case where Shavuos fell out on a Friday or a Shabbos. The Yom Tovuch is a Sunday. Only when the Yom Tovuch is a Sunday, that's when the Chachamim said, you have to say eulogies are mutter, so as not to validate the opinion of Tzedukim who say Shavuos has to be on a Sunday. Okay. This actually comes up halacha lemaisa in the fact that Isru Chag, the day after each of the three regalim, we know has a special status. We don't say Tachanun. There might be an Inyan to have a Suda. The question is the Isru Chag of Shavuos different than the Isru Chag of the other two Yom Tovim? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that one needs to increase his achila. He should have a special suda on Isru Chag, on the day after Yom Tov. The Magen Avraham says that the implication is that there's no Isru to fast on Isru Chag as well. So that's interesting, because we only find in the Gemara that only on the Isru Chag of Shavuos it's usher to fast, because of the Yom Tavuach. For Pesach and Sukkot, we don't find this. So, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchos Shavuos that it's usher to fast on Motei Shavuos, and Magen Avraham explains, because of the Yom Tavuach. So the fact that one nowadays cannot fast on the day after Shavuos, that Isru Chag of Shavuos, it's because of this Mishnah, it's because of this Gemara. And even though you'll say, yeah, but that was only because if Shavuos fell out on a Friday or Shabbos, that was only according to Beis Shammai. Lemaisa nowadays, we just put it all together and we say that, you know what, blanket rule, no more fasting, Motzei Shavuos at all. So according to that, it would come out that the Isru Chag of Sukkot, it would be mutter to fast. So that's a very interesting, debate, halacha lemaisa, of the concept of Isru Chag that really emerges from this Gemara. Okay, now we turn over to Yud Ches Amud Beis, and now we're going to be dealing with a very new mission over here. It's going to seem to be completely out of left field. It's going to be dealing with different levels of Tumah Tahara, different levels of Milos, of certain things that they would do in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi tells us over here that the reason this whole mission is brought up of Tumah Tahara is because we're going to talk about later the concept that in Am HaAretz, someone who's not well versed in halachos, who's not makbet on Tumah and Tahara, so he in general, the rest of the year, we have to assume he's Tameh, but on the Regalim, he gets a special status of being Tahar. So Rashi says that the reason that we bring up this whole concept, this whole Mishnah, is because it has to do with Regalim. Because in Am HaAretz has a special din on a regel, on the Shalosh Regalim, and therefore, since our whole Masechta is discussing the different halachos of regalim, of yontovs, of karbonos, that's how he brought this Mishnah up here. It says the Mishnah, notlim liadayim lechun ulamaiser ulatruma, that a person has to wash his hands with a kli, with at least a revius of mayim, Rashi tells us, if he wants to eat chulin, which means regular food, or maiser sheni, or truma, he has to wash his hands first. Ulakodesh matbilin, but if he wants to eat hektish, like karbonos, let's say, he would have to actually dip his hands in a kosher mikvah, a basin of water with 40 saw of water. He would need to dip his hands in first if he wants to eat kodesh. And Rashi points out, even if he doesn't know that his hands are tamei, he still has to do that. Ulechatas, if a person wants to touch the mechatas, which means that when they would make the ashes for the para aduma, they would mix the ashes with certain water, and they would combine them. That would be the what they would sprinkle on someone to make them tahor. So if a person wants to deal with that process, im nitma yadav, if his hands became tameh, nitma gufo, we assume his entire body becomes tameh, and his whole body would have to go to the mikvah. Now, tava lechulin, hoksag lechulin, when a person washes his hands, and his intention is he wants to eat a hamburger, a regular piece of meat that doesn't have any elevated status, he's huksuk lechulin, meaning he's now allowed himself to eat chulin, but usur lemaiser. The washing he did with the intention to eat chulin only grants him access to the food that he had intention to eat. And therefore, if his only intention was to eat chulin, his washing does not validate him to eat maiser. And so on and so forth. Tava la maiser, if his washing was to be able to eat maiser sheni, hoksik la maiser, he can do that. Aser la truma,
that washing would not validate him to eat truma. Tavula truma, he washed in order to be able to eat truma. Hotzla truma, he could eat truma. But asra lakodesh, he can't eat karbanos. Tavula kodesh, he washed specifically, let's say he put his hands in a mikvah, specifically to eat hektish. Hotzla kodesh, he can eat kodesh. But asra lachates, he would not be able to involve himself in the process of the para aduma. Tavula chamor, mucha lakal. What we see from here is that if you did a tefillah with the intention of a higher level, you certainly can go lower. But if you go lower, you can't go higher. So what are the levels? Chulin. Then higher than that is Maiser. Higher than that is Truma. Higher than that is Kodesh. Higher than that is Chatas. So what the Mishnah is saying is, whatever level you had intention for, you can always eat or involve yourself with the lower levels, but you can never go higher unless you had specific intention. Tava v'lo hosuk. Let's say you washed your hands stam to clean off your hands. And now all of a sudden I want to eat something. Kiyu lo tava. It doesn't do anything. The Mishnah is telling us that I have to wash my hands with specific intent to eat something. And if I don't do that, it's kiyu, it's as if I didn't wash. I would need to wash again. Big de ama aretz, midrash leprushin. So as we said before, an ama aretz is someone who's not makbid. He's not careful about tuman tahara. So his clothing, the Chazal declared his clothing have a certain tuma level status called midras, which we generally associate with a zav. When a zav sits on something, that's called tumas midras. So they assumed, halachically, that the clothing of Am Haaretz have tumas midras, leprushin, to those people who are makbid on tuman tahara, for regular chulin. And therefore, those people who are makbid prushin, who are makbid on tuman tahara by chulin, they would not be able to come into contact with clothing of an Am Haaretz, or else it would be matame them. And now we're going to say, this goes all the way up the chain. Big day prushin, midrash l'olchei truma. The clothing of prushin, people who are makbid to eat chulin b'tahara, that clothing would be considered tame to those who eat truma b'tahara. Big day olchei truma, midrash l'kodesh, those who eat truma b'tahara, their clothing would be midrash tame to those who are makbid to eat kodesh. And big day kodesh, those who eat kodesh b'tahara, their clothing, are midras, would be matame someone who is wanting to involve himself in lechatas, in the paraduma process. Yosef ben Yehuda, and just to emphasize how this is really just a blanket gzeira, we say Yosef ben Yehuda, hayachas shebekuhuna. Yosef ben Yehuda was one of the most prestigious and tzaddikim in the kahuna of a kohen, and nevertheless, v'haisa matpachto midras lekodesh. His headwearing, his clothing, was considered tame for someone who ate kodesh, because he was eating truma, he wasn't eating kodesh, and therefore, for someone who was in the kodesh level, even though he had a big tzaddik over here, like Yosef ben Yehuda, his clothing still had to be treated as tame. Similarly, Yochem ben Gudgida, he made sure to eat everything with the same status as if he was eating kodesh. So whatever he would eat, he would always put his hands in a mikvah before he saw. He was always makbid to eat on that level. Nevertheless, we know there's a higher level than kodesh, which is chatas. And therefore, his clothing would still be matame someone who is going to be involving himself in the para aduma process. Says the Gemara, Chulin u'maiser, mi boi netios yadayim. Our Mishnah had said that if one wants to eat chulin and maiser, he has to first wash his hands. Is this really true? Urimini, hatruma v'abikurim, if you have truma and bikurim. And Rashi points out that bikurim are also called truma, so they have the same status as truma, they're on the same level as truma. So there are a lot of halachos about truma. First of all, chayev aleihem misa. If a non-kohen eats truma, he's put to death. Number two, the chomesh. If a person, a non-kohen, eats truma bishogig unintentionally, he not only has to pay back what he ate, but he has to add on a fifth, an additional fifth of the value. Number three, the osur lazarim. The Torah has a specific losaseh to say that non-kohanim cannot eat truma. And v'heinichse kohen. The truma actually belongs to the kohen, so much so that he could use truma to be makadesh a woman. And he could actually use truma to purchase slaves, to purchase land. And another halacha, v'olin be'echar u'meya. When it comes to truma, in a mixture of chulin, the ratio of chulin to truma would be 1 to 100. So if there's at least 1 in 100 in a mixture of chulin and truma, the entire mixture is usur for non-kohanim. Only if there's less than that amount, then it would be considered possibly meduma, a suffik. But if there's at least 1 in 100 in a mixture of truma, then non-kohanim cannot eat that. And v'tu'un t'ilas yadayim, if a person wants to eat truma, he has to wash his hands. Now why? So Rashi tells us something. He says, we have to know the basic assumption here, is that our hands have tuma. Aye, but they don't have tuma. But they do, halachically. So there's a concept called stam yadayim, which is Chazal imposed tuma on our hands, and the level of tuma is called sheni. We know there's something called av hatuma, rishon latuma, sheni latuma, shlishi latuma, and even revi'i latuma. Those are all levels of tuma going up to down. So our hands, Chazal say, are a sheni latuma. Why? Why did Chazal impose tuma on our hands? Because, first of all, one pshat in the Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Yadalid is because Yadayim Askanios Hain. You know, we're always touching places in our body without realizing it. So we touch dirty parts of our body. So therefore, Chazal didn't want us touching dirty parts of our body and then eating truma. It would not be proper. So they declared that our hands are a sheni latuma. And if a sheni latuma touches truma, it could make truma into a shlishi latuma. Now this is a halacha that's unique for truma, because when it comes to chulin can never get past a sheni latuma. That's the highest level of tuma. But for truma, it could actually become a shlishi latuma. Rashi and Shabbos does say that some say the reason they made this sheni latuma on the hands is because we're nervous our hands actually touch tuma. But Rashi doesn't like that pshat, because then why did Chazal make our hands a sheni? Maybe our hands touched an avatuma, and every time we touch something, it goes down one level, so our hands should be a regional atuma. So therefore, you have to say it's probably because we are concerned our hands are dirty, and we don't want our dirty hands touching truma. So Rashi says over here, they made you wash your hands, because if your hands were a sheni atuma, and they touched truma, they would make the truma into a shlishi atuma. The Gemara says, and the hair of Shemesh. If, let's say, a person became Tamei, so you cannot eat the truma unless you waited till after nightfall. Even if you went to the mikvah. So you were Tamei Doraisa, you went to the mikvah, so, oh, I could eat truma right now. No, you have to wait till after sunset for Harav Shemesh, then you could eat it. So says the Gemara, Hare Elu b'truma bikurim. All these halachos are on the truma and bikurim level. Mashein kein b'maiser b'kol shekein b'chulin. None of these halachos apply to Maiser, Sheini, and none of these halachos apply to Chulin. So one of the halachos we mentioned was washing your hands. So what? You're saying that only Truma requires you to wash your hands before you eat it, and not Maiser, not Chulin? But our Mishnah said, Chulin and Maiser also require you to wash your hands. So Kasha Maiser on Maiser, Kasha Chulin on Chulin. It's a Kasha for Chulin, it's a Kasha for Maiser. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Maiser, a Maiser lo Kasha. It's not a question about Maiser from our Mishnah to this Braisa. Why? Harameir, Harabanan. It's a machlokes, whether you have to wash your hands before eating Maiser Sheni. It's not, because we have another Mishnah in Mesachas Para, which says, Koaton bias maimidere sofrim. Anything that requires washing your hands, midir Rabbanan, meaning the Rabbanan said, you have to wash your hands. Mitame esa kodesh, that can actually impurify kodesh, uposel esa truma. Now what does this lashon mean? Again, like I said before, there are different levels. Rishon latoma, sheni latoma, shlishi revi. So the lashon mitame means it can make something else tame the next level, and then that item has the ability also to make something else tame. So therefore, if your sheni latoma hands touch kodesh, not only do you make that a shlishi latoma, but that could actually make something else a revi'i latoma, because by Kodesh, there's a concept of Revi'u Tuma. Whereas by Truma, we call Posel. Posel means that it can be Metame the next thing, but that item won't have the capacity to be Metame anything else. So we said before that Truma only goes up to a Shlishi Lotoma. So if my hands touch Truma and my hands are a Sheni Lotoma, it makes the Truma into a Shlishi, but that's where it stops. And that's the Lashon Posel as a Truma. However, Mutter Lechunu Meister Vermeyer. Vermeyer says, I could eat chulin, I could eat maaser, even without washing my hands. So Remeir's of the opinion that when it comes to maaser, when it comes to chulin, I don't need to wash my hands. The Chachamim osur maaser, and the Chachamim said, it's osur maaser unless I wash my hands. So you see from here very clearly that there's a machlokas in this braisa, Remeir and the Chachamim, whether specifically maaser requires hand washing or not. So therefore, our Mishnah would just take one of those signs. Not a problem. However, Elachulin Achulin Kasha, meaning this Machlokas Remeir and the Rabban that we just quoted in this Braisa, it didn't really, Chachamim never addressed Meiser. They don't seem to, Chulin. They don't seem to address Chulin. So we start left with our question of how could our Mishnah say that you require hand washing before chulin when the braisa says you doesn't, you don't. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, kan be'achila, kan be'negiya. When did our Mishnah require hand washing before chulin? That's if you want to eat chulin. But the braisa that said that you don't require hand washing for chulin, that meant just to touch chulin. Says the Gemara, maskla rasim varashi, ad kan lo pligal rabbana led rameyer, when did Rabbanan come along, like we just quoted in the Braisa, and say, oh no, it's usher by Meiser? That meant, Chachamim meant, you can't eat Meiser without washing your hands. Aval b'negiya de Meiser, uba'achila de chulin, lo pligi. It seemed like when it came to touching Meiser, or eating chulin, even Chachamim agreed that it's permitted without hand washing. So apparently, there's no opinion that says that you can, this distinction of achila versus negia. So that can't be the distinction that, oh, our Mishnah says achila, and therefore, that's why you need hand washing. But when it comes to negia, you don't. But in this braisa, both Remeir and the Rabbanan seem to agree that you do not need hand washing, even for achila of chulin. How can you tell me our Mishnah requires hand washing for achila of chulin? So the Gemara has to give a new distinction. Ella aydi va'aydi ba'achila. Both our Mishnah and the Braisa are referring to eating chulin. Why then does our Mishnah require hand washing before you eat chulin, and the Braisa, Remeir and Rabbanan, not require hand washing before eating chulin? The answer is, it depends what you're eating. Lo kasha, kan bi'achila de nahama, kan bi'achila de peri. Depends if you're eating bread or you're eating fruits. Our Mishnah, which says you have to wash your hands before eating chulin, that's before eating bread of chulin. But if you're only eating fruits, that's when the braisa said, I don't need to wash my hands before eating fruit of chulin. And the Gemara just follows with a proof to the fact that we don't need to wash our hands before fruit because we have a braisa, Dama Rav Nachman. Kohanota yada lapiros. Anyone who washes his hands before eating fruit, harehu harezeh migasei aruach, is considered haughty. It's very interesting. What does that mean? That a person's haughty for washing his hands for fruit. So the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim Simin Kuf Nun Ches Sif Hey actually quotes this halacha that if a person washes his hands for fruit, he's considered haughty. But the Ramah adds, this is only if one washes betoras chiyuv, meaning he washes thinking to himself, I am obligated to wash my hands before fruit. But if a person washes his hands out of cleanliness, that's certainly mutter. Now, why, what's this distinction between bread and fruit? Why are we required to wash our hands? And this is halacha l'maisa, we wash our hands before eating bread, but we don't before eating fruit. So the Magen Avraham says This is all based on halacha of truma. Right, nowadays we don't have truma, but it's all, you know, Mirta Hashem will come to eat truma very soon, or be in an environment of truma very soon. We have to prepare ourselves. And therefore, when it comes to truma of bread, of chita, of wheat, that's a halacha midoraisa. And therefore, since it was a very stringent level of truma, Chazal declared that we should always wash our hands before eating bread, always. However, the truma of fruit is always only midirabanan. And therefore, Chazal will never go there by chulin to wash our hands. The Mishnah Berurah writes, why is it considered hodi? Because you're showing yourself that you're being medakdik in a mitzvah as if you're obligated, but you don't need to be. So it's almost like it's haughty to pretend that you're doing the correct halacha, or you know what the halacha is, when in reality you're not doing what the halacha mandates. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the Achronim agree that even if you don't know of any dirtiness on your hands, but you want to be machmir and wash your hands, why? Not because you're obligated before you eat fruit. I want to give kavod to the bracha. I like to be clean before I make a bracha. That's also mutter, but you should make sure to do it not b'derech chiyuv, but rather to do it b'derech rechitza ba'alma. Just wash your hands because you want your hands to be clean for a bracha, but don't do it with the intention that I'm obligated to wash my hands before fruit, as that would be considered haughty. Okay, we'll stop there.